July 28th, 2019, Sunday morning.
Yeah, I went to an old fellow's birthday party yesterday.
That's next week.
there's another old fellow.
There's two of you?
He's a lot younger.
Oh.
The next one.
He's even a young old fellow.
Ray was 87 yesterday.
Oh.
And he's got this spotting like you.
Now he worked at Johnson Brady's and he got me started there. And I was going to college to become a high school teacher. And within 3 months working at Johnson Brady's, I could make more money than I could ever hope to make teaching. And that kind of ended the teaching end of it. It was a good job. I liked it. You know. That's where I met Steve Fay.
Mm-hmm.
And kept witnessing to him. And it was like, you know, remember the song "Hello, Wall"?
Yeah. When you got it.
But you know what? The Lord kept putting on me to witness him. Kind of. And of course, he knew a lot more. So we finally went up to see him and his wife. He was married to Beverly then. And I don't know if you ever hear this, but he says, they had a Bible there. He said, my Bible is backwards. He says, the Old Testament is in the front of this one. And his wife Beverly says, dummy, she says, they're all like that. Great appraisal, you know, and understanding of things. I had something happen a couple days ago, and you know how all of a sudden you know something that you didn't know, but you should have.
Now you know that you know that you know.
Yeah, it's something petty. But anyway, what's his name? Somebody had a vision a number of years ago of me standing at the door with a sword.
I think maybe Twyla. Yeah. I think it was Twyla's vision. Sorry.
That's okay. It's coming from you, but it's coming from me. Yeah. So anyway, I finally realized that what happened, and we're in the middle of that. And 20 years ago, I was given I heard a voice, and anyway, the voice directed me towards the Word of God. I mean, that was it, the end result of the thing. And I realized that what had happened is that God had put the sword in my hand 20 years ago. And I couldn't let go of it. And what has happened is the rest of you have picked it up. You know what? We're getting to a place where the sword of the Lord is in our hand, which is the Word of God, to the point that nothing else matters except this. There's no other doctrine, there's no other, nothing except God's Word that matters. God made it that way. And so we began, you know, I began to cut with it. And it wasn't, as a matter of fact, it cut some people right out, which I didn't mean to. And I didn't always use the best discretion in handling the sword, but this is what this is. And so when Jesus said in the 10th chapter of Matthew, he said, I didn't come to bring peace, I came to bring a sword, division. Mm-hmm. And what this does, the Bible is a divisive instrument. And remember what it says in Ephesians 6:17, it says, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And then we found out in Hebrews 4:12, where that the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. It's sharper, it says it is sharper than any two-edged sword. And so, God has given us an instrument, and if we want to hang on to it, we're not going to necessarily make friends. You don't make friends with the truth. But the ones that you do make friends are friends that are good, you know what I mean? They're the best kind. And I've come to the conclusion that the message that, see, I had a, 50 years ago, I had this experience, my dad agreed with me. An angel said, I just had time to tell my loved ones. Well, who are my loved ones? Remember what Jesus said? He says, my mother and my brethren are these who hear the Word of God and do it. And so, you look at it and you think, well, those are my, my family. And it may be. It could be. But also the danger that we see is in Matthew, the 10th chapter, where it says, your food will be those of your own household.
Mm-hmm.
And I've often wondered, I thought, well, how could that happen? You know, how can you break up families? How can families be whatever? And then now I understand. If they are under the doctrine of a system, and they are insistent that what they have is the truth, and you start getting into the scriptures and find out that it's not the truth, they hate them. And you can't do anything about it. I mean, God designed it. Because they received not a love for the truth that they might be saved. Well, that shows me something. We're sitting here trying to go from week to week and get the revelations and the thing that God is wanting to, the revelation from God. But we can't decide that. We can't determine that. I can't determine what revelations are. I ran into something this morning. There's a scripture. And it's in John 1:17 and John 1:18. And in 1:17, I didn't know that they were right together until this morning. But in 1:17 it says that the law came by Moses. In the King James it says, but that's the other translation don't say that. Except for the Geneva one that somebody gave me, I think the other Mary did. In that one, the word but is in there. But in the other one, it leaves it out. And I can understand why. You know, but it says, the law was given by Moses, but, says the King James, but truth, or grace and truth, came by Jesus Christ. Mm. And it's like, you mean to tell me that the law was not truth? Well, of course the law was truth. Whatever God said was truth. But what is it saying? See, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And it's like the law could not be understood. But grace and truth through Jesus Christ was a development of the law. The law was not understandable. But under Christ, it became revelation and stuff that we can understand. Grace and truth came with Jesus Christ. Then it says, no man has seen God at any time. In verse 18, but the only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. And so, one of the main purposes of the Bible is a revelation that so that we get the revelation of God. God wants us to know. And he's not a white-haired old guy sitting, sentence took place. Even though there may be old, white-haired old guy, but he's not. God is spirit. And I like the way the understanding we're beginning to get is the fact that God is spirit. Not us spirit, God is spirit. God is the sum total of everything that exists, and out from God has come everything that does exist. And so anyway, it's a wonderful thing that God is doing, but it will separate. It'll separate you from family. It'll separate you from church goers. And that scripture right here, that'll separate you. Mm-hmm. Is it true?
It's in the Bible.
It's not only in the King James, it's in the other translations.
All the other translations.
Yeah. So it's the truth. Is there one God and one mediator between God and man, Christ Jesus? Is that true? You know what is so amazing is that scripture after scripture, I was just reading some scriptures out of the 41st, 72nd, chapters of Isaiah. And it talks about God bringing up a Savior out of the north, from the north. And I think, you know what, I don't know what that means. You ever see that?
Yeah, there's different references like that about directions that don't make sense in a way. And sometimes it leads out one direction.
But why did he say that he he's talking about Jesus, but why did he bring him up from the north?
Well, Galilee is north of Jerusalem.
Well, there you go, Charlie. You're a guy.
It's a possibility. I don't know.
But I thought the armies were supposed to come from the north. The invasion. That was Russia, wasn't it?
And they did, when the Israelites lost their way, the big army came from down from the north.
I want to go back to that in 1:17.
Yeah.
Because I think in speaking you said a couple kind of different things there, but grace and truth came, and I think you said through, and then by, and then, whatever.
What does it say?
Well, it does say through, and I think that's kind of important.
Through?
Is that the New King James?
Yeah, that's the New King James. It says the same thing that you read.
Yeah.
But grace and truth, because if you say by Jesus Christ, it says if he made it happen.
But it happened
through him from his Father. Because that's, because then it says, the only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. It's funny, I read in Matthew 10, that setting about, and in that last day, don't worry what you shall say. And it says, for the Spirit will give you what to speak. Well, there's a little part in there that I never really picked up on. It says, the Spirit of your Father. Not just the Spirit, not the Spirit of Christ, but the Spirit of your Father will give you what to speak. That's pretty personal from the Almighty God.
Yes, it is. Yep.
And so, anyway.
Which verse was that again?
Matthew 10. Where is that? Matthew 10. I had it over there, and I went to it. Matthew 10:19-20. But when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak, for it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you.
Mm.
I hope that happens.
Well, we spoke in Jesus Christ.
Right.
That's what we're supposed to be.
That's why we can be one with it. When you're one with Christ,
then you're one with the Father.
Right, and you'll be speaking. Yeah, good. That was good too. Good additive.
Keith, you were talking about the word as creating enemies, you know. And I remember when you, shortly after you did not hear an audible voice, but whatever, you know. And you were, your focus was exclusively on listening to the word. My, I got irritated. So irritated. And in retrospect, I think it was perhaps a demonic irritation.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it is characteristic. I think, you know, that thing is a sword. Swords divide. I just, you know, it was not like you. You were generally, you know, you were easygoing and accommodating, and you know, it's, well, that's your call. And then all of a sudden, you got pretty rigid on this thing. I didn't see a whole lot of room for maneuvering on my part.
I had a problem. In those days, you know, it's been a while. It's not there now, but I had a Jeremiah problem. And I had said a number of times, I'm going to drop this to myself. I'm going to drop it. But, and then something happened, and it's like, you know, Jeremiah.
Yeah.
He says, but the word was in me like a fire burning in my bones. And I can't say that that's exactly how I described it, but it was like, no, this is it. This is it. Don't drop it. This is it. And, you know, right back on again, see? But, and the thing right now, if you witness to somebody and you want to see them go to heaven, get them listening to the word.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's maybe the church people, I just think, but witnessing to the lost, don't have to worry about all that other churchy stuff, all the la la la. No, it's maybe, you know, more will come in, I think, that way.
I was just thinking this morning about a couple that I've been pretty good friends with, and they're Christians. And all of a sudden, I have not seen the guy, because I normally would see him on rides. He would show up to ride. He hasn't been coming, or wasn't, about a week or two ago. And then never kind of saying, well, where are you, you know, or something. And I had had a discussion with him before that, a month or two, whatever. And I'm just wondering if I was a little too truthful about some doctrine, and just but I'm going to make one more attempt to talk to him and see and just say, did I say something that may turn you away or offend you or something? And if it was about the truth, I'm not concerned. But if I said something maybe out of context, or I would want to apologize, you know. But I have a feeling that I think in the last conversation you brought up the trench. And as an example, you know, of captains of the church that are in.
You went to the third rail.
Yeah. So I don't know.
They didn't
get real offensive right at that moment, but they might have went home and talked and went, you know, that Ken, he's out there in left field.
That could be the church would speak with great reverence and respect for the Bible. And that's not it. It's not reverence and respect. It's life, truth.
Life,
you know,
is truth.
Yeah. It's that. It, you know, it's not, oh, it is so wonderful.
That's not it.
Yeah.
That's not it.
It's light. You know, it's more than wonderful. It's light. Or, you're making man's assessment of this thing when you say, it is wonderful. Oh, it's so wonderful. That's man making an evaluation. Mm-hmm. It's not according to the thing. It's not what it is.
We don't see what the scriptures say. We're kind of illiterate. It's a good point. Mm-hmm. You know,
we're still fumbling around in the dark because the Spirit has given us a light.
But anyway, Jesus said, "If you continue in my word." What's that mean?
Continue.
You know what I mean? What does that mean?
Don't stop.
And he says, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, what's that mean? So then we get in Hebrews 8 and 10 where it says, where God says, I'm going to make this new covenant. After the old one is done away, I'm going to make a new covenant with you. What's the old one? The old one is the law.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to make a new covenant with you. I'm going to take that those same words, I mean, not necessarily worded in the same way, but the same thing. I'm going to write them on your minds and on your hearts. How many people know that? You know what? I should have, but when I saw it, it was like a major revelation to me. Of course. No wonder God wants us to be listening to His Word and absorbing it, consuming it. And, you know, no wonder. He wants to use this method. This is one of them. He wants to use this, maybe this is the main one, method of getting this written in us so that we become Christians.
Mm. You know, I'm gonna, in love, just a little rebuke there.
What they say?
You shouldn't have known any more than anybody else.
Yes, that's right. Well, we all should have known.
Yeah, we all
should. Yeah.
You said I should have known that.
No, I should have.
Well, so should we. So should everyone.
Yeah.
Taking it on again. I wanted to go back to what Gene said because I think it's really important. It's easy to talk to the lost because they don't pretend to know anything. So they come, as Scripture says, like little children.
Yeah.
And they're open. You go to someone who's been in church for 20 years, they don't come as little children, they know. And now you have to, line upon line, point upon point, try to debunk all that history and tradition of doctrine that they built and cocooned themselves. You know, and kind of, you know, thinking about that, it reminds me of, they are as hard to get to see the light as the rich are hard. As the word says, so much harder is it for the wealthy than the not.
Yep.
And you should think, you know, people who think they know God think they're wealthy in the Lord.
Right.
And
the rich have increased.
They have nothing, but
they're poor and miserable.
You know, that's what happens if you even get as far in the church as being born again. There's a whole bunch of so-called church that's not even born again. All of a sudden, then, you can't ever be wrong.
No, I know.
It's like, and that's why the lost, when I came, I realized I was lost.
That's right.
I was a sinner. I didn't know. You know, I was wrong. But if you go to the church, once they're established, so-called, then it's like, well, no. I can't be wrong, or I don't want to admit I'm wrong.
Right. The thing
you
is,
know?
It's talking their whole life, everything they believed was wrong. But we came to that.
That's right.
Remember, we went, I don't know anything. I thought I knew everything. I don't know anything.
Yeah.
So the question is it possibly born again, spirit-filled, Bible-believing, and lost? And the answer is yes. Because you don't have enough of the Spirit. And you're still deceived. And I mean, you're kind of like, so are you this, this, and this? Yep, not enough.
because there's nothing we can do that is enough anyway. Nothing.
Yeah, the neat thing is we can't get them over the next room.
And when you get there, it's like that's that plateau where you stop and you don't keep realizing that you don't have all the revelations. You don't have all the truth.
Yeah.
You know,
we're the spirit of the sword.
Yeah.
We're talking Brine Company. You know, we got it. You're so in trouble.
That's the thing. I'm so glad we just... No, we don't got it. We don't got it all.
You know? And look what it took it to get us there.
Oh, yeah, it wasn't easy.
It took a big fall.
It took a lot of...
A big, bad move fall.
A big swallow of humility going, I guess maybe I'm not right at all.
So if that doesn't happen in your church, what's wrong? Looks to me like you're probably in the control of the one... You don't want to be because he's leaving you alone.
Yeah.
You know?
Because it's way easy.
Now, if God moves you to that church, and then you find out where you're at, like we did, God gave us a marvelous move of love.
Mm-hmm.
And then he showed us how we could still mess up.
How we were.
Yeah. And the enemy used it. You know, the enemy came in and disguised it after a while. So, if you don't have that happening in your church, where are you? Because it's not happening doesn't mean you're there. It pretty much means you're not there.
Exactly.
You know, or you're not on the way to there. Not because we're not, we haven't arrived, obviously. So, you know, but...
Very obvious.
Yeah.
And one of the scariest scriptures that I mean, it's okay now, but I haven't ran into it was Matthew 7:22.
Well, yeah.
That was, when I saw that, I thought, what are my chances?
Right.
Many people come to me in that day and they'll say, those we prophesied in your name? We cast out devils in your name? How many people are doing that? We did many mighty works in your name?
You know, and you were talking somewhat earlier about the word will give us. But I heard a scripture, and it said, and I think it was Jesus was talking to Peter, and he said, I think it was Peter and the disciple, whoever was there. To you has been given to know the mysteries of heaven. Was that only for them? See, we keep saying, we'll never. Well, I just heard Jesus said, you will know, it has been, if it's been given to you, you can know the mysteries of heaven.
Yeah. Is that a different setting than when the disciples asked Jesus about to explain the parable of the sower?
Well, you know what? I'm not really sure where I heard it.
It might not be.
I don't think it is in that setting.
There.
But I'm not positive.
You're talking about parables.
It might have been right before it, or it might have been right after the parables. So, to know the mysteries, I guess if you look at that.
So, if I may, one of the reasons for my birthday party next Sunday is because of the scripture, Matthew 18:3. And unless, or except, I don't know which word to use there, and you become converted and you come become as little children, you shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. You know what? That's scary. But we were talking about it earlier. It's like, you know, the church system, they have all the answers. And the pastor, I mean, I have felt this impression myself. I don't know what that means. Well, you got to come up with an answer, you know. You got to know what that means. And, I mean, I have felt the same kind of pressure. And what has happened is we have stuff like, and I'll use not any specific name, but the fundamental movement. Here we are. We're realizing the value of 1 Corinthians 14.
You know that most of those fundamentals think that that doesn't belong in the Bible. So if you can take out what you want, you can do whatever you want with the rest.
That's right.
And here we discovered one of the most vital, valuable chapters in the entire Bible, the 1 Corinthians 14.
And, you know, most charismatics or Pentecostals or whatever that would really champion that chapter totally miss out on what they, you know, they think it's all about tongues. Hey, it's hidden in there somehow or other, secondary or something, is the order of what church meeting should be. And that's sort of slipped in.
Well,
or they misinterpret what prophecy is.
Right, yes.
Because they don't see
The insights and the revelations are not supposed to come through a one-man operation.
That's right.
It never had, it wasn't set up that way. I mean, everything we see, like, what is it, the 12th chapter of Romans? And remember, I think it's the 12th chapter, but anyway. And in Ephesians, the 4th chapter, about the body ministry, each member has a part that is supposed to be part of what, you know. And what it says in 1 Corinthians 14, it says, let the prophet speak, you know, two or three, and let the other judgments of anything be revealed to another that says, let the first hold his peace. And then, you know what the next line says? So that you all may learn. We are learning from the input of one another. As the Holy Spirit moves upon this one and this one and this one. But that's the way it's supposed to be. How is it, brethren, when you come together? One has this, one has this, one has this, one has this, one has this. It wasn't set up for one man to be a...
Getting back to mysteries. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, I was just doing. I was just finished. And then the elders and them, and we, you know, we were just so dark.
A couple of references in the New Testament are mysteries, is right after the parable of the sower, but also it's mentioned in 1 Corinthians 4:1, and it just says, "Let a man so account of us." As of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. So I couldn't find a different setting where mysteries was something different than because you've asked and you need to know. When Christ was explaining the parable of the sower, and they asked him, well, what does this mean when you speak in parables? And he goes on to say, you need to know the mysteries of God.
Where does it say that?
It says that in... Matthew 13:11. To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted. And that's just a couple of verses after the parable of the sower.
Okay, so there's a little difference there, I suppose. It doesn't say to know all mysteries, it says the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Which would be just fine for me if I knew that.
Just some of them. Any mystery is a win, right?
I kind of think the whole notion of mysteries is, you know, it's impossible, but in God all things are possible.
Yeah.
You know, so
right.
it's that kind of analysis.
Kind of the Holy Spirit will reveal, and if you think that's, then you realize later on, the Holy Spirit is going to be revealing all
that's why, you know.
Yeah.
Right. Like Corky has his little things that he says, oh, this is where, you know, I feel this is where I always go. And so, you know where I always go. We go, well, we can't know all that. Well, wait a minute. God, all things are possible.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you can't make assumptions about anything.
Yeah.
No, but I think it, when you say it's a mystery you're never going to know, that is thinking after the natural man.
Yeah.
But, you know, in spirit, all things possible. You know,
yeah.
Right.
Actually,
so when we say we can't know, are we talking in the natural when we say we can't know?
Well, with God, all things are possible, Ken. So.
Exactly.
I suppose you just
so,
have to say,
well, let's
in the natural, we can't.
We'll have to correct each other every time someone makes that comment. Are you speaking in the natural?
Yeah. Naturally. I want to throw a thing in here that's really sort of a question. I was reading, and I kept coming across this word, overcome, and it just makes it sound like, you know, you really have to work hard and overcome this thing, and of course, so how do we do that? That's what I want to know. How do we overcome? It's all kinds of promises to
the blood of the Lamb is one example, because it says a lot of different things.
You know, you overcome by the blood of the Lamb, I guess.
That's one.
Well, I guess that's my way to figure that out, yeah. Then
I think there's other references too, but it's always because of Christ or the power of God, you know.
Okay, well, there's all these promises to the church ages in the book of Revelation, you know. Well, there's also all these warnings and all these descriptions and all that. But, and then we always take the church, I guess, those, we are the church, and they, you know, they flop over each other and whatever, but here, at the end of every one, he says, okay, first church, Ephesus, at the end, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. So, if you have an ear, and you hear by the Spirit, and you overcome, then this is your blessing. To the next church, Smyrna, I guess, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh will not be hurt of the second death. To the church of Pergamos. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, I will give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. And of the church of Thyatira, it says, and he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father, and I will give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And the church of Sardis, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Philadelphia, him that overcometh, will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him a new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And then unto Laodicea, to him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And so, I
good
guess
question.
We need to hear and overcome. And if we overcome by the blood, that's what he said. You're right, he said.
Well,
as I overcame.
That, I think there's a lot more to it, though.
Yeah.
Than just that. I mean, because. But that's where you start.
That's where he tells everything.
Yeah, that's remarkable because God the Son overcame.
Yeah.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, why is that hard?
Yeah.
God.
I heard it when she said that. I heard he overcame.
Yeah.
But I didn't think
I didn't catch it right away either.
As you were reading that this time, I've always had this feeling, okay, it says there's one body, right? One church. So when he's listing all these different churches, But there can't be all those separate churches in the end, because there's only one church. There's only one body. So, that seems to me that when you get to where you're to be, you're going to have fulfilled all of those things.
Access to
every
all
church.
Promises. Huh?
Yeah. Which sounds like
and
a lot.
The warnings in them and those things should be taken into
yeah,
account.
And it's like, yeah, some of
like the promises. Part
of and you may have overcome in certain parts of every one of those churches now, but
okay.
not completely.
Okay.
You know, or you may not have touched on it one at all. You know, you might be missing the boat so far, you know.
It's a tough deal because the whole idea of overcoming suggests works.
Yeah.
It's just works.
I would say it's not.
But, it has to be a work of grace. You know? This overcoming. We're talking about Noah working 120 years on that ark. And all the scorn and everything he's getting from everybody. That had to have been a work of grace.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
That was a work of grace.
Yes.
That, you know, but, hey, Noah had something to do with it. He was staying with it. He was overcoming, I think. And in that same way, or to a lesser degree, but I think there is an element of this, what, you've been listening to the Bible for 20 years? That's just plain nuts. You've been listening to that for 20 years.
You want to miss out on the greater body of Christ, don't you know?
That's right. That is a work of grace. It's kind of nuts. Mm-hmm. But it is a work of grace. But that's not to say that you can't, you know, year 8 or 9 or whatever, go tailing off on your own, you know, and miss out on the route.
Exactly.
You know,
yeah.
You know. And so in some kind of sense, even though it's a work of grace, it is, I think, an act of overcoming. Now, I don't want to build this up too much on this thing.
Yeah,
no. You know,
but
I think that's, you know.
Every one of those with overcome, what's before it? He that hears.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, actually, the prayer for it says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear."
Yeah.
Then it gets down to the last three. It says, "He overcometh first," to put the "he that hath an ear" at the end. And I don't know what that means. Probably nothing. But I just noticed that when I was reading it.
I have been saying for a long time that phrase, "He that has an ear to hear," is much more important than we just say.
Yeah.
It. It,
oh.
To it.
Yeah.
So overcome. So John 16:33, Jesus speaking, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Okay. Then you go to Luke 10:19, Jesus talking to the disciples, I believe. "Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and overcome all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." So he claims that, you know, he's beaten the world, he's overcome. And then in Luke he's saying he's given that power unto us, but that's only possible if we have ears to hear the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so if that helps.
Yeah, it does. I'm glad I brought it up.
Yeah,
but
it's on
faith
or something.
Yeah.
You know, a little.
I know I've read things that went to, like, okay, Lord, how do I do this?
Yeah. How do I overcome? Yeah.
You know, or how do I, you know, whatever. And, but, you know, the more we've been hearing, we realize that we start getting a lot of the answers because, like, for me, because I've been hearing out in America, it was, well, you overcome by the blood of the Lamb, which I think is in Revelations 2. And probably something else. But, you know, those things start sticking with you, and you start realizing it's not up to you, but you got to be in Him, you know.
Yeah, that one, maybe it was last church age, he said, "Even as I have overcome and am sat down with my Father,"
right,
or whatever. So it's like,
yes, yes, yeah.
This week, we have a we listen to the Wonder Bible. And a little problem with the machine. It won't advance to the New Testament, so we've been getting a pretty big dose of Old Testament along with it, you know. Anyway, the Song of Solomon was rolling. And, you know, I love that Song of Solomon. I really love it. But I realized, boy, that thing does not describe my relationship with God, with Jesus. It doesn't, you know, that's not going on.
Yeah.
And then it occurred to me, hey, pray that it will. Pray that it will. If we don't have a real grip on this overcoming,
right,
pray that we do.
Yeah, yes.
You know, it doesn't come, and then after all,
right.
That fellow was really in love. And so was she. I just but pray for that.
Yes. Okay.
You know, in God, all things are possible, you know.
And it says, I don't remember now, but remember Jesus says, you don't even have to ask me. You can ask my Father whatever you want. And if you want the right thing, He's going to grant it. And at wanting that, He will grant it. You can pray that. You know?
Yeah. That'd be something to be all sick in your heart over.
Oh. I remember having touched on that at one point. And,
yeah,
you know,
well, and I remember when I was in that bed, sick, and fell horribly in love with the Lord. I mean, it was like He was my everything.
So I keep having this thing that kind of haunt me is, and I think it's in relation, have you lost your
first love?
Yeah, right.
You know,
have this against you.
I want this back. Yeah, I want it back.
Yeah.
Lord. Give us our first love back.
That's
the only way. I mean, how are we going to have a first love back if we?
Yeah.
It's not working spirit.
Yeah. Yep.
And it's not going to be just dumped on us arbitrarily or at random. It's we both, you know, want that thing.
Just to put a fine point on overcoming, 1 John 5, I'll read a few verses. For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that come by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by blood and water. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's an element of faith associated with the process of overcoming.
You have to have faith. The Holy Spirit's going to come.
You have to believe in the blood of Jesus Christ.
And then,
you know,
and
that too. It doesn't say it that, but that's what it's saying.
That's what it's saying, yeah.
Did I have a bird?
No, it's the...
Oh.
I've been thinking about bringing it.
I meant to read one more verse. For there are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one.
Oh, that sounds like a Trinity to me.
Well, and I think it's not in the manuscript. I think that was added to King James.
But even then, that doesn't tell me eternity.
No, it doesn't.
It says Father, Word, and Holy Ghost.
Yeah, right. I mean, who is the Father? Well, He is the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
And that's right.
And He is the Word.
Yeah.
That's right.
Sort of like the Son and the Father.
Now, are you speaking in the natural?
I am speaking in the natural.
Yeah.
Do you think our car window's open? Do you think it's raining?
Our car window's up. I have a couple of scriptures now. I'm leaving on a saint here, was what we're talking about, but in
First Corinthians, the second chapter, and verse 9. I'm familiar with this verse. Now, listen to it. It says, "I have not seen, or ear has heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them that love him." Okay? Don't stop there.
Mm-hmm.
"But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit."
Yeah. That's this mystery thing, doesn't it?
"For the Spirit searches all things, that he the deep things of God." Now listen. "For what man knoweth the things of men, save the Spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us from God."
Mm-hmm.
Are you following what I'm going
to say? Yeah, yeah.
God wants us to know these things.
He does.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
God wants us to know him.
Yes, he does. Amen.
And what's the point of giving us the word if he doesn't want us to know him?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Even in the world.
And a lot of people will lose out because they don't know what he said. They don't really know.
Yeah.
And when we put our confidence in some man, you know, Paul says in Philippians 3, he says, you know, we're the true circumcision, meaning the true Christian, true Jew, Christian Jew. And we worship God in the Spirit, we rejoice in Christ Jesus, and we have no confidence in the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's new to me.
So
I have lots of confidence in the flesh.
Yeah. I heard John 16:13 this morning. "However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak." And here's a question that came up in my mind. He will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. "He will glorify me, for he will take up what is mine and declare it to you." And the thing that popped in my head, which could be just man, I thought, so he's not speaking on his own authority like a general give every... It's to each different person God says what to speak at whatever time, you know? So that could be totally... But that's just what popped in my head.
Maybe.
Or he will not speak on his own authority, kind of like... So, you know, just automatically giving everybody all the same at the same time. It's kind of like it's, I don't know. So
that's John 16 what?
13.
Okay.
But, and that could just be my own head.
Well, my head isn't coming up with anything better yet.
But the word that is used there, it says that he will guide you.
Yeah.
Which is a...
And actually, authority in my Bible is in italics, kind of. It's in a different letter, lettering. So it could have been, I don't know why it's that way. Why did they say they do that? Is that because it was added, or because it's just making an emphasis?
Yeah, it's quite
implied.
Implied? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. I think that underlines what kind of bothered me. Well, the NIV doesn't make it really any different. He will not speak on his own.
Yeah,
same idea.
Right.
He will speak,
which is kind of odd, you know.
Yeah, he's going to go away, and the Comforter will come.
You know what that could be?
I think that just was implying that he will speak with the Father that gives him.
Well, it's implying maybe that Spirit is not on its own.
It does do that.
Yeah, it's still the Spirit of God speaking.
It's the Spirit of God in
but
the
form of
the
Comforter. But it makes it sound like it's a separate person.
And,
you know?
Yeah, there's some funny...
Yeah.
Just
street.
Oh, God, Jesus, make things a little clearer.
Now, today, right
Lord,
this minute.
That's
right. Make it clear.
Trust you.
Make it clear in the days to come.
Thank you, Lord.
Glory.
Yeah, amen.
Glory that we're in a place. Oh, glory that we're in that place. That these things are coming up and we're not just trying to think on our own heads.
You know? Or fall back on 500 years of tradition.
Yes, yes.
Seeking God, not
right.
saying we know. Oh, yeah.
I've said a number of times recently, I'm going to say it again, that I feel so appreciative to be in this particular environment.
Yes, I do too.
Because if I were in a different environment, you know, the standard church, you know, I would slip right into that and be part of it, and you know, my thinking would not, I wouldn't come up. I wouldn't be on the path of truth. I would be on this other path. And you know, that's what goes on in me, and it's just the grace of God.
Yes,
the grace of God. And you know, the churches could be full of people that would be just like
and
what I'm talking about.
Maybe they are.
Yeah, right.
It's not because of some good thing that any one of us should do.
No, it's not.
Or
special perception on my part or whatever.
No, but I think maybe just for me, it's he saw beyond. Saw what the desire was really was for this other thing, and I'm so thankful, you know, because I went around going, I know what that means. You didn't understand the book of Revelations. I can lay it all out for you. Yes. You know, oh, no, this means that. I mean,
Those two words together.
And it was all wrong.
Those two words together, grace, truth. Well, grace, yeah, and you can, and grace and truth can come. Doesn't mean everybody hears it. Doesn't mean they want to hear it. So if you don't accept the grace first, knowing that it's coming from Him and not you, you won't get the truth.
Yeah.
You know,
that scripture, Thessalonians, where it says, because they received not a love for the truth.
Yeah.
You know what? The truth, it was given to them, they wouldn't receive it. You know, He came unto His own and they received it not. I mean, it's like God says, here's what I want you to know, they wouldn't receive it.
Yeah.
And so the church has the word. They read it. It's in them. But they're not willing to receive it. You know, there are a lot of things that I saw in the scriptures that I knew that we were nuts on. Years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I knew that. I wasn't open to receive it. I can't point my finger at them guys. This is mercy and grace.
To Charlie's point, it's so easy in the natural to fall into, well, I've got it, so I don't need to do any more.
Yeah.
I mean, that is just...
That's the comfort of it.
That's just flesh, right? It's like, oh, okay, I got it, so... What else do I need to be doing?
Mm-hmm.
I'll just sit in
this. Right.
Yes, well,
yeah.
You know, when I first got saved, and then the years following, in looking back, I realized that I never accept anything by grace because it became a work, and I was doing it. We were in that little church over there. We had Bible studies twice a week, three different Bible studies twice a week, prayer meeting on another night, services twice a week. Were we ever not together? But anyway, I would go home with that Bible, and then I would, because I write down every single thing, and then I'd go home and I'd re-study it and reread it and redo it because I was so sure I had to get it all in my hand in order for me to be good enough or something. I don't know. I had it all wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
And I did that for years.
You had to study to be approved.
What? Well, yeah, I studied to be approved, but
that's right. It
was, took that scripture.
I never felt approved. Let me tell you that. And then I see somebody going, oh, I love you. What do you think? They really love it. I feel that way. You know, I mean, it would just be, yeah. I mean, I'm very thankful for it.
Yeah, I
am appreciative, like Charlie said, very appreciative.
Yeah, I feel like Charlie. And this thing too. I can't explain how everything happened, but at the same time, I'm glad that he
right.
done what he did.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I was in a miserable place 21 years ago, and I knew for sure. I didn't have any doubt. I knew that if the Lord came, I was going to go to hell. I knew that if I died, I'm going to go to hell. I mean, I knew it. I knew that that was my destiny. And in the middle of this, and so I, what do you do? So I prayed and I prayed and I prayed and I cried and I prayed. And in the middle of this whole thing one morning, it seemed to get really strange and quiet and a voice spoke. And it should have scared me really bad, didn't it? It was like a comfort. And what was said made no sense. You know, if you're serious, well, that made sense in a way. If you want to find me, you have to look for me where I am. Explain that to the church. Explain it to me. Except that while this was on the outside, on the inside, it was like, of course, the only place you can find him. Is in his word. Of course. And a lot of course God straightened out a lot of things after that for all of us, you know. But of course. Then we see that scripture that says that God is gonna write his word in our minds and our hearts. And you know what? Is this part of it? Well, it certainly would be a helper. I mean, listen to it day and night. And especially when, you know, Psalm 1 says that God blesses those who delight. I mean, not their main delight is in the Word of God. And on this Word do they meditate day and night. Is that kind of what happened to us?
You know, I think I look back and I think, I was finding him. Oh, I wanted to find him in worship, and I wanted to find him in fellowship, and I wanted to find him in Bible study, and I wanted to find him in sermons. And that's fine after, that could come after you find him in the Word. Then it should produce worship, fellowship, sharing of truth only, you know, and having it, and then having it by Corinthians, you know, by one or two, and have it approved by, you know, conferred on by other prophets.
That scripture that I heard Corky quote a number of times, I think it's in Philippians 2:12, I'm not sure. But it says, work out your own salvation of your coming. Mm-hmm. And you know what? How else do you do it except with the Word of God?
Yeah. Really?
How else? You don't do it through some man's private interpretation.
I remember it. We just need to worship. That was the key for a long time, wasn't it?
Yeah.
We just need to worship.
It just,
you'll come. We worship.
Finally, had to go. All right. You don't get any worship. You don't get any. Get your heads together.
That is what happened. I love the Holy Spirit.
It's so wonderful.
But I still love being in the Spirit. But it is
fine. You know, just by saying you want to be in the Spirit and want to have the tingles, that's not getting you the substance of the Word, which is the foundation to make all that stick.
That is exactly right. You can stand up and you can get prayed for and you can get knocked over, and if you get up and something has changed, you don't learn it. Why? Why do it? know.
Yeah, let's get in the spirit, let's make sure it's the right spirit.
Yeah,
right.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, and I'm not
that
saying
really
God's spirit can't do any of those
oh,
things,
sure.
But I'm saying
sure.
searching after those, it kicks little tingles, like you said, that's the thing.
And then, like he says, well, that quote in Mark, is it at the end? And these are the signs that shall follow those who believe. It's not what goes before.
Right.
And the last verse of Mark, the main thing it says, the Lord working with them. It took me a while.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We're talking about Jesus.
Yeah.
Working with them. Oh.
Jesus working with them, and it says, confirming the word with signs following.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way that Mark ends.
Confirming the word.
Yeah. Jesus, the Lord
is
the
signs. I didn't totally quote that exactly.
Well, you got the first half just right on. and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word, the signs following. So, but I think to the point, it wasn't, because we used to be a signs, you know, like you need to see this and this, and then, you know, we'd say, well, no, this is obviously of God because there are these signs. And one way you can interpret that and say, yeah, but maybe you're not in a place yet where the signs are going to follow because you're not truly following the word yet.
That just got impressed on my heart. All of a sudden I went, you know, because I keep saying, well, Lord, if you give us signs and wonders, they pay attention to what we have. And you know what? We're not in the right place. I'm not in the right place if that's in my head.
Right?
And all I should be concerned about is the first part.
Right.
That's all I should get.
Yeah, that is excellent evidence.
The others are going to follow.
Which is evidence that we're not there yet.
That's right.
So somebody says, well, you say you got truth, but then how come you're not in it? Well, I guess we don't have enough truth yet.
20 years isn't enough.
Yeah.
20 years isn't good enough to get enough truth.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then they go, well, what about these places that have signs and I go, well,
we used
what
to have signs and wonders.
Yeah.
Hello.
And now I go, yeah,
what spirit
is that? Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I, you know, I have no scriptural proof, but I happen to say the enemy allows us to manifest the enemy faster than the truth of God is allowed to manifest.
Yeah?
Because it seems like we're easily deceived, and it's the truth of God.
Takes
so
long.
Continual drawing near. You know, it seems.
Well, we're a sponge for that side, but a rock for this side.
When it says, "Pew there be that follow."
Yeah.
I don't know that I like that. But
I know.
Well, no, don't like it.
Or the fact that many are called.
That's nice that many are called.
Yeah.
Only few are chosen.
That's not
the
right.
No, I don't like that.
But he calls us. His will is for everyone to be saved.
Yeah, that's right.
So it's not his fault. It's only a few.
Yeah.
So we're all responsible for working our own stuff.
Salvation.
Well, then people go, I don't know if I can
overcome.
By the blood of the Lamb.
Right,
and the word of your testimony.
Right. And people say, well, I don't know if I can accept that there's only a few. Well, look in the Bible.
Yeah,
it's from day one, that's all it's ever been. You're not so few.
It's not me saying this.
Yeah.
If you have a problem,
yeah. And then some people don't want to believe the Bible, but, you know.
And it's funny, like, his people were the ones totally separate from the whole rest of the world, which is a whole bunch of people.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But within that people, even then, they weren't all there.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, still it was a few. You know, because how many were like Abraham? And how many, you know, how about when they were in the desert? How many gave up and got, had to slay a bunch? And every, how many of them actually saw the promised land, you know, of milk and honey? And, you know, like Caleb and
Joshua
were the only two almost out of
from that
era. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's all there. Even within his own people, only a few. Even though they were separated.
Open up the ground and swallow some of them. Kill them with plagues.
So present your bodies as a living sacrifice unto God, holy and acceptable.
And it's your reasonable service. Well,
that's just only your reasonable service.
Yeah.
And then, okay, I got a scarier one.
I mean, so much of that. So
here's a scarier one. If the righteous scarcely be saved, where will the sinner in the end go? The righteous scarcely could be saved?
Well, I get that kind of, don't you? Yeah. We're trying, and we do it, and if we do it, we'll just be barely in by its grace. I mean, I've got this picture of, oh, we're going to we'll be almost like God. You know, we'll walk right in there, you know, we'll have been glory and wonderful.
It says it hasn't appeared yet what we're going to be like.
Right.
But when he appeared, we're going to be like him. And you know what? I think that means that we are going to be developing to a place where we are close.
If you ever needed encouragement to continue seeking him till your last breath, that scripture scarcely to be saved on into it.
Right, right.
Yeah.
I believed it when it was one full blast, you know, because it seemed like that was great at the time. But then, now that it happened, it's like, that makes more sense that even the very elect would be deceived.
Yeah, right. It does make sense.
That's good.
And we've seen it happen in our own eyes. I mean, with our own.
Yeah.
It's not like somebody wrote a story.
Exactly.
I think of it as being on a treacherous, very narrow path climbing up a steep mountain. You know, all step you can go, but there is a path. There is a path up that thing, and grace will keep you. You know, the whole notion of scarcely. Yeah, make 6 inches the wrong way, and I suppose over you go. But don't go over the 6 inches. You know, stay on that narrow path. And
when we were in Mexico, we went on a couple horseback riding. Pam went on one, never went again. And it was that day that she went, and we were on these paths. And I'm not kidding. It's like, and I'm going, I'm sitting on it. I have no control over this animal. I got to totally trust that his feet stay on this little bitty rocky path. Mm. And that's a weird sensation. I mean, you know, so now thinking of that, in our own selves, we have no control. You know, by faith, you got to believe he's going to keep you on that path. You have no real, in yourself, you have no control over where every step goes.
Good. And thank God for faith.
Yeah.
Right. It's funny, I'm more faith than God keeping me on the path of the horse. Keeping you on that path.
Yeah, me too.
A Mexican burro.
Because sometimes a horse does step wrong.
Yeah.
Or a burro or a mule, you know. You can't let that enter in your mind while you're doing it. You'll just be
sick. I never got out of them.
And if you are too fearful, it affects the animals.
Yeah,
it's not good for them.
And then they get jittery. God bless.
God bless.
God bless all of you.